Chapter 8. Return to the Pyre. Magna Macrag Civitas, the landing fields. The sky over Magna Macrag Civitas was thronged with ships, military and civilian vessels, gunships and freighters, all vied for dominance in the steadily crowding airspace over the city.
"So many of them,"
remarked Numeon, peering through the port-side vision slit of a thunderhawk as it angled down through scads of cloud. A belt of turbulence shook the diminutive gunship, part tempestuous air current, part engine wash from the larger vessels, making Numeon curse as he reached for the troop hold's overhead guide rail.
"We've taken to maglocking ourselves to the deck,"
said Invelio, gesturing to his armoured boots. Numeon's light carapace unfortunately did not possess the same adhesive facility as the Ultramarine's battle plate. Finding the fragility of his armor perturbing, the salamander yearned to don ceramite and adamantium again.
"I will miss the warhawk," he replied,
gently bemoaning their current mode of transport too.
"Storm birds are both reliable and robust."
He rapped his knuckles against the inner hull, creating an echoing return of thick but still arguably fragile metal.
"I cannot see these lighter gunships suiting the legions."
Invelio kept his own counsel on the matter, and instead turned his attention to the glut of vessels all trying to dock at the landing fields.
"Refugees," he explained, apropos of nothing, "from the fringes. Every time we come back, their numbers increase."
He directed Numeon's attention to a bulky, slab-nosed freighter.
"Labor serfs from Ajax, Konor, and Throne knows where else." "This Imperium Secundus you mentioned,"
said Numeon, recalling an earlier conversation.
"It still needs much in the way of building."
"More like rebuilding," Invelio replied without thinking. He clamped his mouth shut. Too late. Numeon met his gaze. Both legionaries went without helmets, the salamander because he did not have one, and the ultramarine because he held his in the crook of his arm. He looked young, Numeon decided. According to Sergeant Thiel, the 13th Legion had suffered heavy losses during the invasion. Practically, it made sense to replenish any shortfall quickly. Invelio was fresh-blooded, but he had earned some battle experience under the sergeant of the Red Marked.
"Explain," said Numeon, his tone neutral.
Invelio relayed what he knew about Vulcan's arrival on Macrag. It wasn't much, but Numeon absorbed every morsel with quiet detachment.
"So he fought here,"
the salamander murmured, casting his gaze across the sprawling vista of the city.
"Aye, that's what I've heard."
Numeon said nothing further. Instead, he regarded the Civitas. At first, all he saw were the peaks of mountains, a rugged coastline, the tallest spires jutting through cloud. But as they descended, he caught a glimpse of grand archways too, then soaring towers and minarets, then smaller structures like barrack houses and depots. Grey bands winding between the buildings became streets and roads. A ribbon of silver became a river. Lower still, he watched the troops as they patrolled, some clad in legionary plate. He saw the citizens attending to their business. Some huddled in small groups, talking, bustling, smoking tabak, or giving the hulking ultramarines a wide berth. Others hurried quietly and alone, giving furtive glances to any perceivable threat. This was not a city at peace. It was one not entirely comfortable with itself. From the plebeian masses and their august protectors, Numeon's eyes strayed back to the horizon. There, tall towers rose up like gun barrels from hard Macragian bedrock that had once been the seat of its ancient warrior kings. Amongst the banners and flags of the ultramarines, he saw the heraldry of blood angels and dark angels. There were lesser pennants too, and he recognized the iconography of white scars, iron hands, raven guard, and even space wolves. The last banner upon which his gaze alighted was painfully familiar, a drake's head, the symbol of Lord Vulcan, fluttering morbidly at half-mast. Invelio saw it too. Numeon could tell by the sudden cessation of the ultramarine's breathing, as if he had made a second error in judgment and hoped his stalled respiration would halt time and thus allow him the opportunity for redress. This time, Numeon kept his own counsel. He looked away, neither legionary acknowledging what they had seen and what it meant. Firing stabilizer jets filled the uncomfortable silence, followed a few seconds later by the Thunderhawk's landing stanchions unfolding and touching the ground. Raucous turbofans were still downcycling when a second figure entered the troop hold from the cockpit. Barring the gunship's crew, two ultramarines had come with Numeon from aboard the Defiance of Kalth. There was a fourth passenger, too, but he remained shackled and entombed within an incarceration casket, strapped and locked down at the back of the hold. Aeonid Thiel barely glanced at it before nodding curtly to Invelio as he entered the hold from the cockpit. His gaze then came to rest on Numeon.
"Your kin have gathered to receive you, Artellus," said Thiel as he approached. "The lords of Macrag will want an audience with you soon as well."
"I hope they are patient," Numeon replied.
Thiel looked down at the salamander's proffered hand.
"Both my deeds and words towards you were unworthy, Brother Sergeant. I meant no dishonor."
Surprised at such humility, Thiel looked up and the two legionaries gripped each other's forearms in the manner of warriors.
"Apology accepted, Artellus."
Satisfied, Numeon nodded.
"You return to the Outer Worlds again?" he asked.
"Once the prisoner is delivered to Titus Prato, yes, I'll return."
"I get the impression Macrag is not really where you want to be," suggested Numeon,
a furtive glance at Invelio revealing to the salamander the feelings of the Red Marked. Why else would they have joined Thiel if they did not agree with his philosophy?
"Politics are for a different breed of legionary," Thiel answered honestly. "My role is," he searched for the right word, "simpler," he said.
A wry smile pulled at the corner of Numeon's lips as he said,
"Perhaps you are a better politician than you think."
Thiel laughed briefly and dismissively, but took no offence, for none was meant. Behind Numeon, the embarkation ramp had begun to open with the dull drone of machinery.
"Go well, Artellus."
A look of sudden urgency crossed Numeon's face as he remembered something just before he was about to leave. He began to unclasp the gladius attached to his weapons belt.
"Your blade."
Thiel put up his hand in a stopping gesture.
"Keep it. The way you were slogging that gladius around, you need the practice."
Numeon graciously accepted, smiling at the ultramarine's mild jibe. He reached up to his breastplate and unclasped an engraved Besigyu. It was exquisitely fashioned and unique.
"Now we are allies," he said,
handing the small round plate to Thiel. Humbled, the ultramarine bowed his head. With a heavy and resounding clang, the ramp touched the ground. It was time to leave.
"I didn't see it before," said Thiel, "but I see it now. I'll hope as you hope, Salamander, for a miracle. Vulcan lives."
Invelio echoed his sergeant, and the two ultramarines stepped back so Numeon could be reunited with his brothers. The walk down the ramp was slow, and every footfall upon it echoed dolefully. Near silence greeted Artellus Numeon on the landing fields. An area had been cordoned off for his arrival where several legionaries had gathered. He saw the by now familiar pairings of Iron Hands and Raven Guard, recognizing similar cells to the one he had been part of. Memories of Trioris, the brothers he had lost, both Salamander and Knot, returned, and it was hard not to relive the grief of their passing again. A lone Fenrisian prowled the edge of the throng, watching and scowling. More prominent than the Space Wolf, but equally inscrutable, was a White Scars legionary. Sitting upon a weapons crate, the Chogorian smoothed his moustache and deigned to nod in Numion's direction, although the two had never met. The last legionary who drew the salamander's eye appeared and disappeared quickly. A casual observer, it seemed, Numion was left with the impression of grey, nondescript armour, but it was hard to tell in fading daylight. In any case, his attention was quickly arrested by someone he knew approaching from the gathering with open arms.
"Brother!"
Zitos clasped Numeon in a firm embrace, which he returned belatedly and awkwardly before being let go. Varkir, coming forwards as the overjoyed Zitos reluctantly retreated, was more restrained and merely bowed, but the gladness in his eyes at Numeon's survival was obvious. Other Fireborn stood at the fringes, a woefully small cadre, nodding and smiling at their returning captain. It was a brief shaft of light in an otherwise dark reunion, Numeon's humour quick to fade as he looked Varkir in the eye.
"Where is our father?" he asked.
After escorting Numeon to the landing field, Thiel and Invelio got airborne and headed for the eastern keep. A small docking pad jutted from the summit of the formidable bastion, its walls grey and unyielding. With the onset of night, a clarion rang out from one of the buttressed towers, signalling curfew. Engine drone from the approaching gunship hummed loudly on the air, drawing the attention of mounted search lamps. Strafing the encroaching darkness, two grainy beams alighted on the ultramarine's craft, edging it in pearlescent white. From the guardhouse that shared the docking pad, two fully armoured legionaries tramped out with bolters locked across their chests. Automated gun nests, situated at the four cardinal points around the tower that housed the docking pad, swiveled as they achieved target alignment on the slowly descending gunship. Thiel kept the side hatch open throughout their descent, watching the tower defences keenly. He knew Invelio was standing ready at the embarkation ramp, having eased Zenut Sul's casket to the troop compartment's threshold. Gravitic impellers lightened the heavy casket, and it needed only a gentle nudge from the ultramarine to get it into position. Its prisoner, and the potential knowledge Titus Prato could extract from him, was far weightier. Just before the gunship's clawed stanchions met the landing pad, Thiel leapt out of the open side hatch to jog around to the lowering embarkation ramp. Invelio waited on the other side and eased out the incarceration casket in front of him once the Thunderhawk had landed. Flanking the prisoner either side, Thiel and Invelio escorted the casket to the waiting guards, who signalled for them to halt whilst they voxed in and confirmed their arrival. After a few seconds, one of the guards gestured for them to proceed, and Thiel and Invelio ushered the casket towards a tall access gate that led into the keep itself. Through the armour glass porthole wrought into the casket so the prisoner could be seen at all times, Thiel had one last look at Zenut Sul. The word-bearer's eyes were open and unblinking, almost entranced. A solid metal brace had been inserted into his mouth so he couldn't speak, and Thiel thought he saw Zenut Sul gently gnawing at it as he tried to form some Colchisian canticle or benediction. Thiel didn't try to mask his disgust. He would have liked nothing more than to take out his anger on this wretch, but a much more invasive punishment was in store for Zenut Sul. Titus Prato awaited the prisoner in one of the Eastern Keep's dungeons, and Thiel smiled at the thought of his brother taking the word-bearer apart, one mental sliver at a time. What he didn't see after he looked and he and Invelio passed through the grinding gate into the keep was that Zenut Sul was smiling too.